Avalon'sGrills.com is better than pie.
My head is a box filled with nothing, and that's the way I like it. My garden's a secret compartment, and that's the way I like it. That's the way she likes it.
I don't know. I don't like it.
You like it.
When you tell me I like it. You don't know what I like.
You like it. Don't tell me you don't like it. You like it.
Mm-hmm.
You like it. I hope you like it.
An empty head.
All right. We have lots of things to cover today.
We do.
First things first.
Yes.
One of our New Year's resolutions was to do more of the romantic marriage stuff.
We haven't done any.
We ain't done nothing. Well, we kind of did. We talked a little bit about, talked a little bit about things.
What did we talk about?
We weren't specific. We weren't focused on that. It just sort of crept in with all of our date talk and all those, the newlywed question talk and all that.
That wasn't newlywed.
What wasn't newlywed?
That wasn't romantic marriage.
Yeah, so I'm saying. Well, so that's what we're going to do now.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do romantic marriage now.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, let me get my romantic marriage notes.
Oh, okay. You didn't have anything. I wondered what you were doing.
Not in my romantic marriage notes.
Okay.
Wait, is this my romantic marriage notes?
I cleaned your office, but I didn't move anything, I promise.
Well, what did you do with my romantic
marriage? I didn't do anything. It's not my fault you got sticky notes laying everywhere. I don't know what to.
You didn't throw my sticky notes.
I didn't throw anything away, I said. I'd have gotten yelled at. Just like that. Throw my stuff away. It's not my fault. You got notes everywhere.
Yeah, I got notes.
What happened? Well, I bought you a notebook. Why didn't you write anything in it?
I got my notebook right here.
Yeah, why are your notes not in there?
I do have notes in here.
Oh, okay. Are they the ones you were looking for?
No.
Oh.
So, Yeah. I need to create me a Google Doc with all of our notes on it.
Yeah, so basically you have nothing to say?
Yes, I do. 12-second kiss.
Uh-huh.
Let's start there.
Okay.
Is everybody still trying to get the 12-second kisses in? We're not. We've slacked off on that one. So I was wondering how y'all were doing.
Are you doing okay with that?
Because, we need to do more of that.
We do. We get busy.
We do get busy. Life gets in the way, and taking time out for each other, just, it's just beating sometimes. It's true. It's like, I don't want to think about that right now. He'll still be here tomorrow.
Yeah. You hope.
So, I will. I'll be here tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah, I noticed that the other day. You were asking about going to Dallas with April and needing me to pick up the kids and stuff. And I said, sure, that's fine. I said, but we need to have a 12-second kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And then, things slipped by and that didn't happen, and it came time for you to go to Dallas. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a deal where you give me a 12-second kiss and I'll let you go to Dallas. Right. It wasn't anything like that. It just reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were leaving and I'm like, oh yeah. That was the same email we discussed the 12-second kiss thing. Uh-huh. And so there was this resentment that built up in me. Wasn't of the Lord. It wasn't a good thing.
Right.
And so So I took her aside.
Yeah, but you got a 12-second kiss before I left.
I took her aside and we 12-second kissed.
Kissed?
Yep.
We did. We kissed.
Kissed. So, yeah. So be open to that. Be open to it. One of you has to initiate it and the other one has to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way a good kiss works, right?
Yeah, usually.
Okay, so here's the next thing.
Okay.
I agree with not going to bed angry.
Yes.
But I don't agree with agreeing to disagree.
Yeah, I'm very well aware of your I don't agree to disagree business.
Somebody needs to submit and say, okay, you're right. I can't, maybe there's something still in me that doesn't like it, but I submit you're right. We'll move on. The other night we were having a good time with our friends from down the road. And you said something that was right and I was wrong. And I didn't think twice about it. You're right. And the comment came back as, wow, that That's nice. You just say that. And I remember, and the reason why that stuck with me is because I remember when we got together.
Yeah.
There was this natural conflict.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Neither of us were ever concerned.
And I'm like, you're just going to give in that easy? I was like, where's the fight? And then it made it less fun because
there was no fight.
No, I'm right. I want to win, but there's no winning when you just give up.
I didn't give up.
But you did. I mean, you just admitted I was right. And then
That's not giving up. That's just admitting you're right.
Well, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. That never stopped the person before who I was sharing my life with. I mean, it didn't matter if you're right or wrong. It was where you could win the argument.
That's what. See, I have no issue with that. That's not an issue for me.
But I think that in life that becomes an issue between other people, not just married couples.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. No, let's fight it out and figure out who's right. Because I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it like I have to win the argument. I want to know if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. It's not about winning an argument.
It might get heated, and I might have some presuppositions, and I may have some skin in the game. I may be upset about the situation because I want it to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I want to go around being wrong just because
somebody won't take the time.
But we've lost that in this postmodern culture. We've kind of lost that because your opinion is just as valid as mine. Yeah, but I don't want to be wrong. Now, I don't want to be wrong in the way that I don't want to lose. I don't want to walk around with the wrong idea just because everybody's letting me be wrong.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, let's talk it out. Let's have a discussion. Let's have a conversation because a good conversation is going to have differing of opinion and then an enlightenment of your view. Now, it may mean, like, let's say one of you is Democrat and one of you is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean at the end of it you're both going to be Republicans. But it may mean that one of you needs to go back and rethink your argument.
Uh-huh.
Or it may mean that, you know, it's just going to give you food for thought to go forward.
Isn't that agreeing to disagree, though?
No, it's not agreeing to disagree. It's saying, you know what, you're right. I'm going to go and think about that. Or I don't think that that's right, but I don't have a really good response for it. So, you know, I'm just going to submit to your answer for now, and I'm going to go off and kind of recontemplate my stance because it didn't hold up under scrutiny. And it comes from being in a community where there's love. It comes from being in a community where there's a general sort of agreement that just because you lose an argument, you're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it comes from this thing that we're all in this together.
Right.
And we're all trying to move forward and get closer to the Lord, and you know, if it's a Christian conversation or whatever. But if you're in your marriage, you've definitely got to have that attitude of we're both on the same team here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we know another couple where everything is about being right and wrong. And boy, you just should see them light up when they realize that they've got the other person. They light up like a Christmas tree. And they celebrate.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm right. You know, and oh, see, honey, I told you I was right. I told you that's what it was, you know? And then they got to brag about it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And it's they're not intentionally trying to belittle the other person in a mean way, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they end up doing.
That's the result.
Byproduct of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, I don't think we should agree to disagree, but I also don't think we should win arguments just to win arguments.
Right.
And argue just for the sake of arguing or go to bed angry. That's not the constructive way to have a marriage or any relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't say to the Lord, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Right? I want to know why. This is the way I see it.
Yeah.
But obviously, you've said differently in your word. Please, Lord, show me why. Show me where I'm wrong in my thinking here, because this doesn't make any sense. I see that a lot with because I study apologetics, and I see that a lot with some arguments about evil.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how can evil exist? And you know, people like R.C. Sproul have even admitted he struggles with this idea that God is all powerful and all good, and yet evil exists.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we deal with that evil when it's personal in our lives? And I completely understand that, and I'm not saying R.C. Sproul has got a problem. I'm just saying I hear this a lot, and you know, I'm sure he does this, but you've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, show me where I'm wrong in my thinking here. You know, I mean, I'm mad at you right now. I don't like what's happening here, and you're sovereign, so he's big enough to take you being mad at him, as long as you admit you're wrong.
Right.
know you're wrong. Did I just snot all over the microphone?
Oh, okay. So, 12-second kiss. Don't go to bed angry.
Don't agree to disagree.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What else?
Work it out. Talk it out.
Have a date night.
Have a date night. You know, and if you develop good conversation, you can go on a date, have a good conversation, which involves conflict, without getting into an argument. And have real meaningful conversation on that date. It doesn't all have to be gushy-gushy talk. It could be about philosophical things.
I'm amazed.
At what we talk about and make it romantic. How we feel closer at the end of a date night when we've talked about things that are not romantic at all. I'm sorry, what were you going to say about people?
No, I'm just amazed at how many people don't. That when I say, well, it's date night. And date, what do you mean date night? Well, it's Friday. We go on a date. Or, you know, not always Friday, but sometimes Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. And people don't take the time to go on a date, either because they don't think they have enough money. By the way, you don't need money to have a date. Second, you know, they don't, they, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, but people just don't take the time. Most people I know don't go on a weekly date. I mean, 95% of the people I know.
Even if you just
do not go out on a weekly date.
Even if you have to have date night, even if you don't go out, have a night that's specifically set aside for dating. If that's sitting in front of the television and watching a movie together, or sitting in the dining room without the television on, if that's what you do every night, don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you sit in the kitchen and read a book together, or you know, find a comfortable place to sit and just have a conversation, or play a board game, or but have a time that's just whatever y'all do.
Yeah, trade with your friends, have them watch the kids, you know, or grandparents.
That is specifically, you know,
budget for a babysitter.
Specifically devoted to your marriage, to your time as a couple, not as a family. Mm-hmm. It's great to have a family night too.
Oh yeah, but those are fun.
We don't do the focus on the family show. That's somebody else. We're doing romantic marriage, so there you go.
Is that all you had?
That's enough. Well, that's a no.
Oh,
but that's
okay.
Enough.
Okay.
What you think?
Oh, sure.
All right. So we've got, let's see, lots of calls. We've got a few emails I need to get to. Why don't we do emails first? Well, this is an email, but it's audio.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to...
I don't understand that.
It's from John
Wilkerson. Brad, it's John Wilkerson. Of course, you knew that because I sent you this MP3 file. Anyway, I have two things I want to say. Number one, thank you for your support of Podcasting for Compassion, Compassion 365, over at compassion365.com. Everyone out there who's listening, check it out. I think you're going to enjoy a lot of the different takes on podcasting that you hear there.
Okay, so... That was two things. He said, thank you for doing the Compassion 365, and we should all go check it out. That's two things. Mm-hmm. So that's the end of the – that should be the
That's
end.
All he gets.
The second thing is you were mentioning in the I'm a headache episode. Yeah, I know I'm behind. I got behind because of my surgery because I slept for 2 days basically. Anyway, you mentioned that many scholars think that Elijah and Enoch are the are the two witnesses in Revelation.
Uh-huh.
And one of the reasons behind that is that they believe it's appointed for once for man to die.
Right.
Well,
right.
Here's a problem with that theory. Most of the people who believe that Elijah and Enoch are the two witnesses also believe in a pre-tribulational catching away of the saints. Well, if that's the case, then every Christian is also eligible to be one of the two witnesses because they don't die either. They were caught away into heaven. Just a little food for thought. Thanks for the podcast. You're doing an awesome job. And remember, compassion365.com for all your Compassion International podcasting needs. And yeah, that's it. Bye.
Bye, John.
Brad, it's John Wilkerson.
I
already played you.
He won't go away. He's just like that.
He doesn't know when to quit.
He's just like that.
It's interesting. That's an interesting comment, and that's a very true comment. However, the Millers that we go to teach. They don't teach that the two witnesses are Enoch and Moses.
Right.
They teach – not Enoch and Moses. Enoch and Elijah. But they did throw that out as a possibility, and they gave that reason for it. However, they do teach that – it is appointed for every man to die. Mm-hmm. And that when in the rapture, we will go through death in the rapture. That we will – in other words, when we get caught up, we're not going to physically rise from the earth, and everybody would be watching us with our feet, you know, 5 feet off the ground, and as we float up into the clouds, that our spirit and our soul,
right, will be taken up.
Taken up, and we will, that will be, you know, an instant death sort of for all of us.
Yeah.
That's what they teach. And
like all the that's not left behind,
that's not
the bodies are all gone.
Yeah. That is definitely not.
It's going to be kind of nasty around here with all the bodies laying around.
Well, and they don't come down either way on that side.
No, well, who knows? And who
but they
cares?
Just say Why? They just say that the Bible teaches that we should that everyone will experience death once, mm-hmm. and that
how that is, you know.
They kind of think that if there's a rapture, then it'll probably happen then. And they have another scripture that goes along with that, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
All right.
And they don't teach that as doctrine. I mean, it's like
it's just a thought.
It's just It's just sort of what they think.
Somebody asked a question, they answered it.
There you go.
But you have an email?
That's an interesting point. Interesting point. That was an email. Let's see what else we got. I got an email.
You said you had a couple emails.
Yeah, two. Let's see. Here it is. Linda Critchfield.
Oh.
We played, with our first contact with her was that we played her playlist.
Right.
And she said, "Hi, I'm Linda, who sent you the music list. I wanted to thank you for the kind comments about my short list. I grew up in Los Angeles in the 60s, and which we kind of
figured,
and was a little hippie type girl. My friends and I loved underground type music and had the opportunity to see many wonderful artists live back in the day. In 2010, I am a Christian third grade teacher." So that's cool.
Daughter's in third grade.
Mm-hmm. With a very conventional life, I still love to listen to the old sorts of music. And yes, I grow herbs in my backyard, but it's basil and oregano.
Oh, we were going to come visit.
Yep.
I have basil and oregano in my backyard too, and rosemary.
It's dead now.
And jalapenos.
It was there.
My rosemary is alive.
Is it really?
My lavender is alive.
Even in the winter.
Yeah. And my basil.
It's tough stuff, man. Tough stuff. All right, so we'll...
Jalapeno dead.
I guess we'll do some of these phone calls.
Tomatoes dead.
What?
Bell peppers dead.
Oh.
Yes. Rosemary, very well and alive.
All right, good.
It's a tough little booger of a plant.
Where's my iTunes here?
I don't know.
See. There it is.
What do you got there? We're going to take calls. We've been
there
a long time.
Hey, Brad, it's Travis, and I'm calling in response to you guys doing Groove Shark there. And I wanted to call in and give a response to what you were saying about my list. First of all, Faith, I heard you laugh when Durham Town came on, and I'm deeply offended. But I don't know, that one there is, that evokes an emotional response for me. So don't know, I don't have any explanation for that. But it's kind of funny, some of these you probably laugh at why I put them on. Ugly Kid Joe, that one there, anybody that was my age probably have liked that song. But I remember riding around with my brother and first hearing about that. I thought it was great, you know, just driving in the car with him. And we'd always drive on these backcountry roads so we could open it up, listen to that. We'd take the moonroof out of the car and just blow down the road. It was really cool. I've Got a Name by Jim Croce. How in the world can you not like a song where the guy is finger-picking a 12-string? This guy was incredible. And I learned how to play guitar
aside.
In college. And you start looking at the chords that Croce does, and it's just a huge loss to the musical industry when he died, and I guess it was a plane crash.
Yep.
It's always a plane crash.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad. And, you know, it's a little known fact. He actually had 8 fingers on his left hand.
Really?
Yeah, and he was double-jointed in all of them, so that's how he was able to play those.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Those chords.
He'd have to stretch his hands over a foot for some of these chords from what it looked like. I don't know how he played what he did.
Well, his fingers were 10 inches long. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. 8.
I was looking at Omaha. That one there, I remember all through high school, I carried that cassette tape in the front shirt of my pocket so that whenever I had a chance, I could pull my Walkman out and listen to it because I love the Counting Crows self-titled album.
Yes.
Omaha was just awesome.
That whole album was awesome.
Yes.
Very...
I have it.
Wait a minute. He was in high school when the Counting Crows album was out?
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, no, it's sad.
This one, it's just, it doesn't make much sense, but the music's awesome using this. It must have been a timpani drum and the guitar, the rhythm guitar. I'm a rhythm guitarist, and I love listening to well-played rhythm guitar, and it was very good. Down Under by Men at Work. That one right there, I don't know how you can't like that either. But the other thing about...
I didn't say I didn't like it. It was just okay. It was just, yeah, it's just a song. It's not... I mean, what's...
The Men Down Under. They were running through sand. It's a great video.
Gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
A Vegemite sandwich.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if you knew when Men at Work started getting really popular, if you looked at the road signs alongside the road, they no longer said Men at Work on them. When that group came out, from what I was told, there was some type of trouble that went on, and all the construction signs had to change over to say Men Working because of the music group. They took it from the side, and I guess they claimed it for their own, so everybody else had to change, and that's why... now when you look around the orange and yellow signs at the side of the road, they say Men Working. Kind of interesting.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's okay.
I challenge that.
I challenge that statement.
Please provide your source, sir.
Let's see. Somewhere Beyond the Sea. Faith, I think what you said about you love the way it sounded in your headphones, it's one of the main reasons I like this song, too. It's something called projection. And when you listen to that on a good pair of speakers or a good set of headphones, it sounds like it's all around you.
Yep.
It sounds like you
it's
are in the
wall
middle of the
sound.
While the big band is playing. And I love big band brass music. I love Benny Goodman,
me too.
Glenn Miller. And it's just a shame that all these guys that could do very skillfully played music died in one way or the other.
That's my opinion. Well, it's because they were
the
old.
Gambler.
Well, they'd be 160 in the 40s. If they were still alive.
That's what my parents grew up with, okay, yeah. Was the big band. So that's what I was beat down with.
You can always go listen to Brian Setzer if you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I love big band music.
Kenny Rogers has always had a thing with being able to make very interesting sounds and incorporating them into music, especially this song with the dripping. Sounds like dripping water in the background. He's done a very good job with incorporating sounds in there, and he's a very clear and crisp guitarist, and I've always enjoyed that out of him. And the City of New Orleans, along with The Green, Green Grass at Home, are songs that my dad used to play all growing up. And the first time I actually took sheet music out for The Green, Green Grass at Home that had the lyrics on it, I actually think I started crying because I found out what that whole song was about. It was really sad. You guys just have to take the lyrics out and look at that and find out what that song's about. And the City of New Orleans, my dad, he is a very, very good guitar player.
We went out today, me and my brother, and I found, or he did, or I did. Anyway, it didn't matter. We found every version on Groove Shark. It wasn't hard. You just type in City of New Orleans. But we found every version of whoever covered City of New Orleans. And it was remember the band Lone Star?
Oh, yeah. They did that?
Yeah. And Steve Goodman's the guy who wrote it. So we got that version.
Okay.
Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Arlo Guthrie. Seldom's band called Seldom Scene. And I think it was a couple other bands I'd never heard of. Seems like there's another one that we'd heard that it was famous or something. But anyway, so we got all those and just played them back to back to figure out which one we liked the best. And
yeah.
Arlo Guthrie won.
Oh,
both of
your
us.
Favorite.
We both decided Arlo Guthrie's was the best.
Good to know.
And Steve Goodman's was the worst. He was the guy that wrote it.
And he would actually when he would play the guitar, he had that downbeat on the guitar that he was able to play where it would actually made it sound like you were riding in the rail car, much like Arlo Guthrie could, where it sounded like the train was bobbing on the tracks there. It was just really, really cool.
Yep, good stuff.
And yes, these were songs that I listened to from ages 12 to 16. And when Brad made the comment about me being 22 and 46, if you split that down the middle, you'll get real close to my age. And by the way, Brad, the psychotropic drugs are working fine.
Good
to know.
Bye-bye. Good. And that's that was Travis.
Yes, it was.
From the Thin Ice podcast, which you can find at mylifeministries.org/podcasts.
Good to know the comments. We weren't laughing at you.
Proud to have
we were
him.
Laughing about you.
Proud to have him in my
It's a big difference.
In my stable.
Laughing with you about the things. I left it myself about me, too.
It's all right. Oh, my brother's upset because I didn't actually play his
hey,
list.
Hey, check it out.
Did I not play his list?
No. Did he
driving.
Not submit it correctly?
All the wind flush.
He did submit it, but I don't know why I didn't play it.
I don't either.
Working behind me and that sort of stuff. So a couple things real quick. Listen to the Groove Shark episode. Keep in mind, I was 13 10 years ago. So haven't you guys been married for like 10 years?
Yes.
Yes, you could be our child. You and Swifty could be my child, to be our daughter and sister and brother. And in fact, if you would, you could be if we'd both had a child in a previous in our
yes.
previous marriages.
Well, we'd have children older than you.
Then you would both be like half brother and sister, and you couldn't, or stepbrother and sister.
And then you couldn't, and then you couldn't be married.
Then you couldn't be married.
Yeah, so that wouldn't work at all.
So there's a little incestual innuendos in this going on with you guys.
Sorry, kids.
So yeah. You would have been listening to a lot of the songs I was listening
to. By the way, I would have had kids. You can have Swifty.
Why?
To when you were married or dating, because that was 10
not that there's anything
ago.
Wrong with Swifty. I'm just saying. Why?
Also,
what's it meant? Why?
I was like,
because I'd like to have
like
kids.
Swifty.
Because
she's
I'd like to
nice.
Have kids as a son.
Oh, I thought you already have Dan as a son.
That's true. I got Dan Goodwin as a son too. Maybe I'd just be their uncles.
Okay.
Can I do that? Okay. I'm gonna adopt them as nephews.
Uncle Brad.
Honorary nephews. Dan Goodwin and Kidge with no last name.
Anyway, from 5 to 8. I was listening to the songs on Roseanne's playlist. You know, the Monkees and the Beatles and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I was singing along with every song you played there.
Awesome.
Well, it's because everybody knows those songs.
So, yeah.
Not everybody.
10 years ago, but then there was like a, you know, 4 years earlier, whatever. I was listening to music that was 40 years earlier.
Yeah.
Because so.
You listened to your parents'
you
music.
Go.
We all did that.
Just figured I'd clear that up.
Thank you,
all
kids. Right,
we all started by listening to our parents' music, didn't we?
You had a good list.
Yeah, he had a really good list. He was jamming. He be jamming.
You be jamming.
You be jamming.
Hey, you be jamming. Hey, man. Dun, 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 dun,
Brad, since you're still the official podcast for the Emperor's Flame, I thought I'd call and ask you where they went. I hadn't heard from them in a week. Oh, yeah, I remember now. They went over to emperorsflame.podomatic.com. They were having some kind of trouble with that other site.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
Everybody go over to Podomatic and look for them. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, Emperor.
As always, you can find the Emperor's podcast, no matter where he moves, at mylifeministries.org/podcasts. Also, he also has a permanent URL, if you'd like to tag that, at emperorsflame.mylifeministries.org.
You got any more calls there?
Yeah, plenty.
Oh, okay.
Got plenty. Got lots of them. You know what? Speaking of the Emperor's Flame, let me do this. And
we might have to repair Charlie's foot.
Oh, the Charlie's foot. We built a penguin.
Made a penguin.
And,
Charlie needs some more glue.
We built the penguin.
He needs some more glue on his foot.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Compassion 365.
It's very good. It's a 10.
How about awesome?
Woohoo!
I'm podcasting.
Do you realize nobody's hearing you?
I don't want to know.
Bacon, bacon. Then what?
The ladies of MLM at mylifeministries.org.
Yellow, yellow.
She's fun.
God bless you.
That's great, wasn't it?
Oh, funny.
The Emperor made that for us to promote the ladies of MLM. And the first time I listened to it, I didn't hear the URL, but he put a URL right in the middle, so I apologize for making the comment on Twitter, on the twits today, that it needed a URL, because there was one there. Mm. So, there you go.
What do you know?
Not much, obviously. All right, a few more emailers. I think.
Oh, it's more emails. This is new. People don't want their voices to be heard.
No, I'm sorry. It was.
You mean voicemails?
Voicemails, I'm sorry.
Okay, now I'm driving. So I want to see how many people get what I'm about to say. Faith probably won't get it, but
I will put money. I will put money on it that she gets it because she usually gets things. So I'm gonna say that I will donate. I will donate $5 to compassion365.com if she doesn't get it. Uh-huh. And if she does, Kidge, you have to donate $5. Okay?
You guys just Rickroll us? Thanks.
What did he just say? I don't even know what he said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Hey, Faith and Brad.
Wait, try again.
Okay, now I'm driving. Faith probably won't get it, but did you guys just Rickroll us? Thanks. Bye.
Did you guys just Rickroll us?
Rickroll us?
Yes. Okay, I have to donate $5.
I have no idea.
You know what Rickrolling somebody
No, means? I don't know what that means. I mean, I can guess.
I guess. Maybe you'll get it right.
I mean, it sounds
I'll be out $5.
Like you, like we were either making fun of somebody or...
Shut them up.
Rickrolling means shutting them up.
Showing them up.
Showing them up.
Yeah, of course, I could be...
Rickrolling?
I could be wrong, too.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Why would we know that? You didn't know what it meant, either.
I don't know where it comes from.
You didn't know what it meant?
Yeah, I think it means...
You said you think. Well, you don't know
I've
for
heard,
sure.
I've heard it used, but I don't know exactly where it comes from.
You know what I know?
What do you know?
I know that nobody measures with a peck or a bushel anymore, and it's on Helen's homework.
What is up with that?
It's peck and a how bushel? Many, how many? 6 quarts equals how many pecks? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Or 8 quarts.
I tell you what you do. You write that down on a piece of Big Chief tablet paper and stick it in your britches, because nobody uses
Who
pecks.
I don't even know what a peck is used for.
Peck, peck, peck.
And she's like, what's PK stand for?
So I said assume, that last
no,
night.
You asked me. I said a peck. What's BU? A bushel. Why?
I mean, a bushel is like a bushel. It's like a basket.
A basket of apples.
But I don't know how much it is.
No, I have no idea. I think it's a lot.
I'm sorry? Pastor? Oh, Shaka. 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 Okay.
Oh. So anyway, that's one thing I don't know. Well, I mean, I do now. I had to look it up. On the internet for conversion.
What was the answer? Excuse me.
Six pecks equals.
But what's a peck?
I don't know. It didn't say. it doesn't say.
Is it how much peck a chicken could peck?
I don't know. Could peck wood? That's how many quarts are in a peck?
Let's see what the space turtle has to say.
Space turtle is called mostly for face. You're talking about the Wii tennis. I think you're talking about it on the Wii Resort, on the table tennis. And I know exactly what you mean when it kind of doesn't do what you want it to do, because you're going to try to move the paddle over here.
Mm-hmm.
Like you move the paddle left.
I can't you see you. Right. You do know that, right?
The paddle left and hits it the wrong way.
Yes, yeah. Very frustrating.
Kind of frustrating.
Uh-huh.
But I figured out how to do
Pardon my voice. I'm getting over being sick.
I figured out how to do it. You've got to be really good, and you've got to decide based on the position of the person you're playing where they're going to hit it, and you got to already have your paddle on that side of you. Or as soon as they hit it, you can kind of tell where they hit it. You got to move that sucker over there real quick and then be able to hit it. Because if you wait until it comes across the table and you move it over there, then you're just going to hit it. So you got to do it while the ball's still on that side of the table.
Yeah. Yeah, tennis.
I'm very into this table tennis stuff. Very. It's like I can work up a sweat.
Are you talking about table tennis? He's talking about tennis.
I'm talking about table tennis.
Yeah, you and ping pong need to calm down.
I'm enjoying the ping pong.
Happened with me because I just... And recently, like, let's see what I can do in tennis, table tennis.
Table tennis?
So I got to about
he said table
a rank
tennis.
Of 800 or so.
Awesome.
And it kept going up, so like, well, I'll get to 1,000, because there's, like, a line there, so I figured 1,000 was special. So I'm trying to get there, and I start doing terrible. Like, all these, always hitting the ball, it's not doing what I want, it's going the wrong way, and what I learned... As I continued to play, and I was, like, yelling at the game and saying how lame it was. But I kept playing because I knew I could figure it out. So that's one way to figure it all out is just play a whole bunch.
I'm not going to do that.
Long, like
I am.
A couple hours.
It's not going to happen.
Over a few days.
We got this because it was physical activity, and you said you'd
But
like
I have physical activity
really
in my life.
What it comes down to is you have to guess which way the ball is going to come from.
This is what I did.
So then you can have the paddle ready. So if you keep the paddle in the center, you know, you have a little bit more time, but if you can kind of watch the opposing player and to see where
you would
that,
think I listened to this phone call before I said what I said a while ago.
Come from,
because now we're just
you
repeating
can get
each
the
other.
Upper hand by kind of being ready and hitting the ball back in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my tip for Wii Resort table tennis. Hope that helps. And then the game will be fun again once you figure this out.
Yes,
thank
you.
I'm about to get on the road, and it will be illegal if I'm on the road talking on the phone. So I will call you again later.
If you don't have a Bluetooth thing like we do. But here's what I've learned.
You can't talk on the phone with your hand?
Not if you're in a school zone. But you're not supposed to anyway.
What?
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to use a Bluetooth thingy.
But it's not against the law to drive down the road with your phone.
Unless you're in a school zone.
Okay.
Not in Texas.
Okay. Just making sure. That's something I didn't know.
All right. Well, that's enough. We need to have like a show where we catch up on all the old voicemails, because they're stacking up.
Okay.
Stacking up.
Well, then we'll do that. But right now, we need to say adieu, a bid adieu.
Yes, we do.
Say goodbye. Say good night.
We do need a bid adieu. Don't forget to check out podcastingfor365.com. The Skeeter Show, the Skeeter Bar Show, is over there exclusively. And we will probably put a few over on the Squirrel feed just to kind of plug the other feed. But if you're into the Skeeter Bar Show, if you enjoy that show, and we got a lot of good feedback on it, a lot of good comments on it. So if you like that show, you have to check out 365 to hear it. And maybe me and Faith will do a couple of 365 shows too. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Okay. I don't know. I'm kind of done with this whole podcasting thing.
I'm not. I've been here. I was here yesterday. I was here on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
Tell me I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's me.
Maybe it's you. You're putting it on me. Like, it's me. I'm sitting here.
I enjoy talking with you.
I enjoy talking to you, too. But I can talk to you sitting on my couch, too.
I have to have an outlet for some of these things
that
bug me during the day.
Yeah.
I wish I could do a whole show on Calvinism. It doesn't really fit us.
I thought we were saying goodbye.
We are. This is the outro. This is the exit strategy.
Uh-huh. This isn't exiting. It's extending the exit strategy.
I am plugging something else while we are saying goodbye.
Okay.
We are goodbying.
Okay.
This is the 20-minute goodbye.
Okay.
And so you just made it longer by arguing about whether or not I was saying goodbye. So me and Scott Roche, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is another person who definitely kind of, I think, as much as me and Scott Roche don't see eye to eye on issues, we do see eye to eye on the point of conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
And it not affecting, you know, like what we think about each other. I mean, you know, we still love each other even though we don't agree, and those kinds of things. And he's also, I don't know how he feels about agreeing to disagree, but he's never said that to me. So anyway, the point is we've started the preliminary dating process of doing a Grace Junkies show together.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
And it may turn into more than just one.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of issues we disagree on.
And you have a lot of time. You have lots of time.
Yeah, but I think it would be interesting. No, I don't have any time. I get where you're going with that, but yeah, exactly. I think it would be interesting to have a show where two people disagree, that's not a debate, that discuss the issue.
But they don't fight.
No. Without fighting, just saying, well,
that is interesting.
Here's what I think, and
that's
here's
good.
Why I think it.
That's good
and
stuff.
And he says, well, here's what I think. And
I disagree
why
with
I think.
You all. I just disagree. I just disagree with you all the time. There you go.
And I think it would be good to have that, and not with me and you, but with me and Scott. And then when we get over it, we'll do another one.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
You do it once a month.
We'll see how it goes. We don't even know.
Let the cycle play itself
out. We've never
recorded
together, so we don't know if timing works. If
right.
I mean, we get along, you know, on Twitter, but that doesn't really represent a
real
relationship in any way. So we'll see if we can have a conversation without getting on each other's nerves. and on real life, and see if we can even find the time to get together. So all those things are in the works, which is kind of exciting. Where me and Faith are going to spend more time on the romantic marriage, on our own romantic marriage, and on talking about it. Which is great news for our friends, because I always love it when we use them as examples.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And
they love that.
And we're also going to do more Groove Shark shows. We are also going to do more Groove Shark shows. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I still got to do my brother's playlist.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other people, like Tim Mead, sent me one via email that wasn't on Groove Shark. So I've got to get those together. And so those are – plus we're going to do like songs that your dad beat you with.
Mm-hmm. Glenn Miller's not out there.
You sure?
No. I don't think Jimmy Swigert's out there either.
I'll bet you had $5 that I owe Kidge.
You don't owe Kidge. You owe Compassion.
Well,
another $5 that Jimmy Swigert is out there.
Yeah.
You think Jimmy Swigert is out of Groove Shark?
All right, let's find out.
See, this is why it never ends.
How do you spell Swaggart?
Swaggart. I think, or ERT, one of the two. I don't remember.
I don't know.
It's glory, glory.
Oh my goodness. Glory. I can't believe it. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Since I've laid
my burden down.
My burden down. Glory, glory.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Since I've laid my burden. Was
sweating like a pig playing the piano.
Pigs don't sweat. So
whatever. Where did that come from then?
I don't know. So
you found Jimmy Swigert.
That's, so you owe.
I didn't owe anybody because I didn't.
$5.
I never bet anybody any money.
Did. No, I've got it recorded. I've got it recorded right here.
You bet, not me. I never
That's
said.
The way a bet works.
I just. No, I never agreed to it.
Yes, you did.
No, I just said it's not out there, but I never said I was going to pay any money if it was.
Oh, you're paying.
I am not.
Oh, you're paying.
I am not.
You bet me.
I know I didn't. You did.
Welcher.
I never bet any money. You are so full of it.
You said.
I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You said another $5.
No, you, not me. You said
there's
a money.
One-sided bet. You can't bet somebody.
Yes, it is.
If I lose, you pay me $5. Yes. If I lose, nothing.
That's right. I never
That's
agreed.
Not a bet.
I didn't agree. Doesn't
well,
work.
We're about to agree to disagree, and you're going to have to pay Compassion 365 $5.
You owe $5, not
and
me.
So do you.
No, I do
Jimmy
not, because I did not.
I'm sorry, Helen. Helen says she can't read. All right. We're done.
Good.
Trust me, I'll make her pay the $5.
I'm not paying
Vios
it.
Con Dios.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? Don't whatever me.
Paying $5.
You
I are. Disagree.
I don't care. You bet, and you're going to pay it.
I didn't bet.
You're
you bet it. I didn't. Not paying any
I'm
money.
I'm taking it out of your pay.
You don't pay me any money.
Blind Squirrels is a proud member of My Life Ministries, a community of believers that views the everyday Christian life as a ministry and seeks to encourage Christians in their daily walk with Christ. For more information, please visit mylifeministries.org.